Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
My point is this, these kinds of things that are going to be prevalent worldwide during the tribulation period, the things that people are going to refuse to repent for there, these are things that are beginning to surface and take a prominent place in our world already.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Revelation. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 21, in a message titled, Humanity's Hopeless Condition. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
It's clear everybody on earth is understanding at this point that the God of heaven, the maker of all things, is bringing about his judgment. Now, there are people who are responding in the right way, because we know from an earlier passage that there are multitudes of people that come out of the great tribulation who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they've come to faith in Christ. But there's still this majority of people in the world that are resisting the gospel. They're resisting God's call to repentance. And as I look at this, it's like the world collectively is now manifesting the same kind of behavior that we saw historically in Pharaoh, the Egyptian king at the time of Moses. If you go back to the book of Exodus, and you read the story of the Exodus and how God sends Moses to Egypt, and he commands, through Moses, he commands Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord. I'm not going to obey him. And then God begins to show Pharaoh who he is. And on 10 different occasions, God gives Pharaoh an opportunity to repent. God begins to pour out his judgment. And then after each one of the judgments, Pharaoh has the opportunity to, you know, throw up his hands and say, okay, you're God, I'm not, and I'm going to submit myself to you. But all the way to the very end, all the way to his very own destruction, Pharaoh resists. He hardens his heart over and over and over and over again. And that's pretty much what we see happening here with this group of people that are being described. Now, I want to just walk through the list of things that they would not repent of. There's specific sins are spoken of here that they would not repent of. And so notice again what it says in verse 20, that they did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should worship demons and idols of gold, silver, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So no doubt these weren't the only sins that people were engaging in, but the author here, he zeroes in on these particular sins. And what I want to do is I want to go back to something I said previously in a previous message, actually, where we talked about how, although these things are future, and although by the grace of God, the church will not be in the world at the time, even though they're future, we can expect a conditioning to take place in the world in preparation for this time that's coming. And every one of these things that are highlighted, the worship of demons, the idolatry, the murder, the sorcery, the sexual immorality, and the theft, all of these things are beginning to rise to a new level, even in our world today. And now, I think during the period of time that we're looking at here, during the tribulation period, it's going to go obviously to a heightened level. But we see that things are already moving in that direction. But let's just, like I said, let's walk through each of them. First of all, the worship of demons. Now, when we think of the worship of demons, I think most of us would probably think, well, man, I don't know who does that, but I don't do anything like that. You would be astounded at how much demon worship there is that is going on all around the world today and even in our own culture. Now, of course, a lot of people don't completely understand that that's what they're doing, but that is exactly what they're doing. I was reading the story of the life testimony of a friend of mine, a guy I just met. He gave me his little biography, and it's a great book. And he was raised in Cuba as a Roman Catholic, and yet his family was involved in what's called Santeria. Some of you know what that is. Well, Santeria is really kind of, it's a combination of Catholicism and demon worship. Now, of course, they don't talk so much about the demon part of it, but that's actually what's taking place as they seek to connect with the saints and with the dead and so forth. And they engage in putting curses on people and all kinds of things like that. So as I'm reading through his book and he's talking about the activity that they were involved in the Santeria in their own family, although they thought that this was just part of their Catholic religion, he understood clearly that they're trafficking with demons as they were putting curses on people and different sorts of things, offering sacrifices and things like that. So this is quite prevalent in the Latin world. So that's just one example. But whether it be, you know, Hinduism or Buddhism or these different things, all false religion has its roots in demonic ideas. Paul tells us that in the last days, people are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, in the future, in the tribulation period, that's going to give way to the actual worship of the devil himself. The whole thing that's happening with the Antichrist is in the end, all of the people on the earth are going to pledge their allegiance to Satan. That's what it is. It tells us, we'll get to it as we move on. It tells us specifically at a certain point that they worshiped the dragon who gave power to the beast. The beast is the Antichrist, the dragon is the devil. There's a point when the whole world is gonna worship the devil. That, of course, is what Satan has longed for the entire time. He's always wanted man to worship. He's wanted man's allegiance. And of course, he's been able to get it to a large degree, but he's gotten it indirectly. But he longs for that day when there is just this direct worship of himself, and that day is coming. And so in that context, the worship of demons would certainly probably include what's coming in the worldwide worship of the devil through the Antichrist. But we see today, we see an increased interest in and attraction toward false religion.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
Like I said earlier, the true faith coming through Christ and God's word is pushed out, and it is oftentimes replaced by some other religion, which would in essence be a demonic religion. But then there's also the reference here to idolatry, to idols, the works of their hands. And the idols here, of course, idols and demonic worship are connected. When you go back into the ancient world, you would find in all of these various cults and religious rituals, there was always an idol that was part of that. And then that idol would connect you to that various deity but also the idol connects you to a philosophy of some sort. And I think one of the things we can safely say when we're talking about idolatry today is the worshiping of the works of their hands, which is a way of talking about materialism. And in the future, in this kingdom that's coming, this short-lived kingdom of the Antichrist, remember one of the emphases, as we'll again see later, is the emphasis on buying and selling. It's going to be a crazy time of consumerism and materialism. And again, this is, the world is being conditioned for that. People are, so many people are living for that. Their whole existence is about getting something materially that's going to satisfy them, something that they identify with, something that gives them status among their peers or whatever the case might be. So we see the world more and more going in that direction. But then we come to these other things that are mentioned. The murders, the sorceries, the sexual immorality, and the theft. Murder is on the increase all over the world. I think in the context here of Revelation 9, when we're talking about murder, I think we're talking about a I think we're definitely talking about a sort of an anarchy in the sense of just murder is rampant. But I also think we're talking about murder in a more like a genocidal sense. But you know, we have genocide happening all over the world today. We have populations of people that are being put to death. And we've all heard of what's happening in the Middle East. We've all heard of what's happening with ISIS. We've all heard about the fact that the Christian populations are being decimated and tens of thousands are being driven from their homes and multitudes are being murdered and so forth. And as horrible as that is and as bad as that is, the thing that's even more perplexing to me is how no one seems to want to address it or do anything about it or in some cases even acknowledge it. You know, there's attempts in our Congress to get the administration to acknowledge that there is a Christian genocide happening in the Middle East, and they won't do it. They won't refer to it as that. And this is the kind of thing, you know, think back to, if you can remember, think back to the time of the Second World War. Think back to the Holocaust. This is the kinds of things that we're talking about that are coming in the future. But these things are happening today as well. So we're being conditioned toward that. We're being conditioned. There's a whole bunch of people in various cultures who have been conditioned to think that certain people should just be eliminated. These people have no rights. They shouldn't even exist. Let's just obliterate them. And so, as I said, this is going to be a dominant feature of what's happening in the future, but it's already moving in that direction. We're already being conditioned for that. But we don't have to go across the planet to find these kinds of things. We find that right in our own communities, we see that murder is on the increase. Do you know, right here in our own city of Santa Ana, in the first 55 days of the year, there were 50 shootings in this city. The highest percentage of shootings ever in the city. Now, Santa Ana has a long history, and it has a history of gang activity and violence and shootings and all of those things. But the chief of police recently told one of our pastors that he's never seen anything like this ever. So this is happening. So we don't have to even think of somewhere like LA or Chicago or New York for this kind of thing to be happening. It's happening right before our eyes. And there seems to be, in our culture today, there seems to be a very lenient attitude toward murder. We see it in our judicial system in many places. We just see it in the culture in general. And one of the most blatant manifestations of murder that we don't talk too often about is the murder of the 60 million unborn children through abortion. And again, the thing about abortion that's so astounding is that there are large numbers of people that refuse to acknowledge that it is actually what it is. They say, well, that's not a human being. They want to deprive the child in the womb of its humanity. And I don't know if you remember what happened a few weeks ago when the Super Bowl played and they had all of those different commercials, and there was that Dorito commercial where there was a woman who was getting a sonogram and her husband came to visit her and he had a bag of Doritos and they were watching on the sonogram and the baby in the baby in the womb was reacting to the Doritos like it, you know, wanted to eat some as well. And one of the prominent pro-abortion groups in the country angrily responded to that and said, how dare they try to humanize a fetus? Try to humanize a fetus. Wow. So what are they saying? They're saying a fetus isn't a human. And that's how they justify abortion. That's how they justify killing children in the womb. They say it's not a human. And so it's just gone crazy in our culture, as you know. The Planned Parenthood, the exposure with the selling of the parts of the baby's bodies and all of that sort of thing. And then as, you know, people speak out against it and question it and challenge it, there's a whole nother group of people who want to silence that. You know, another thing that's on the rise all across Western culture is euthanasia. And they used to allow the countries that fought for or promoted euthanasia, it was the opportunity to allow somebody to die with dignity, supposedly, somebody who was terminally ill, if they just, you know, didn't want to go through the suffering and the degrading aspects of what happened there, then, you know, they could ask to be euthanized. And, you know, so there were laws passed that would allow for that to happen. But you know what's happened since? And you know what everybody said is this is a slippery slope. Do you know now that they are euthanizing people who just simply feel like they're not happy with life and they can't see things getting any better, so they just want to check out? Do you know that in some places, like in Northern Europe, the government itself is deciding whether people can really be an asset to society or not, and if they can't be, then they are administering euthanasia to them? I mean, this is happening. And right here in our state of California recently, there was a law, a euthanasia law that was passed. So it's, my point is this, these kinds of things that are going to be prevalent worldwide during the tribulation period, the things that people are going to refuse to repent for there, these are things that are beginning to surface and take a prominent place in our world already. And so you start with murder, but then you have sorcery. And sorcery, now when I say sorcery, what do you think of? You think of magic, you think of wizards, you think of that sort of a thing. Rightfully so, that's what the word refers to. But the Greek word translated sorcery is pharmakia. See if you can make that connection. When you think of pharmakia, does that sound like anything you know? Does that sound like pharmaceuticals? Does it sound like pharmacy? It should, because that's where we get the word from, and the word means drugs. And you think of the proliferation of drugs in the culture, and we're not talking about aspirin, we're not talking about antibiotics, we're not talking about those kinds of drugs, we're talking about hallucinogenics, we're talking about recreational drugs, as people call them. We're talking about mind-altering drugs for the purpose of, you know, checking out of reality or trying to connect with the spirit world or whatever. The reason why pharmakia is translated sorcery or in some cases witchcraft is because historically there's always been a connection between these two things. In all of the occult groups, throughout all of time, there's been this component where there's a potion, where there's an herbal kind of a thing, where whatever it is among, you know, say the Native Americans, the peyote and all of that sort of thing, there's a connection into that world. And so again, we see today that sorcery is on the rise in the culture, and now sorcery has been commercialized, and man, we're going to make tons and tons of money, and so we're going to open up our pot dispensaries all around, and you know, it's just a matter of time, people believe, before it's legal nationwide. We have a couple of states that have legalized pot. People say, oh, that, you know, that's the greatest thing that's ever happened. It's sorcery. And it's the kind of thing in the end that will bring down the judgment of God, and it's the kind of thing that people will continue to refuse to repent of. But then there's also sexual immorality. And sexual immorality is the Greek word porneia, and that word is a very broad word that includes every kind of sexual activity outside of the God-ordained sexual relationship of husband and wife, a married couple, a man and a woman. That's God's sanctioned sexual relationship. Anything and everything apart from that, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, it's all forbidden by God. But that is going to dominate the world. Sexual immorality is going to dominate the world in that coming day, but we don't have to wait for then. It's already happening. The sexual revolution is going forth at an accelerated pace. And there is an absolute agenda. There is a movement to normalize in our culture, and not just in our culture, but to make this a universal thing, to normalize all types of sexual relationships and behaviors. As a matter of fact, the very idea of sexual immorality to some people is a completely, it's an idea that they just completely reject. There's no such thing as sexual immorality for the minds of many of the elites in our culture today. Sex is anything you want, anytime you want, anywhere you want, anyhow you want, with anybody you want. That's the mentality. So to say that something is sexually immoral, that there's something that's wrong sexually, we're living in a time when that is not accepted. And as a matter of fact, if you insist that that's the case, you are not only discriminated against on just a personal level, in some places, as we've already seen, they want to prosecute people for that. But like I said, it's not just here. You know, there's efforts to export this all over the world. And do you know that our government, under the present administration, puts pressure on countries that hold to traditional sexual values to change their position on those things? And if they refuse to comply, then there is the threat of withdrawal of support. It's like a blackmail thing that's happening all around the world. So it's the normalization of these things. That's where we are today. And then finally, theft. And I think this is an interesting one. Theft. You know, there is a mentality that is growing. And it's been a mentality that's been out there in, of course, the poorer nations of the world for a long time. It's the idea of social justice. It's the idea that, you know, it's not fair that just a certain handful of people have all the money in the world, and that, you know, that money needs to be taken and that wealth needs to be redistributed and all of that sort of thing. It's a form of theft, really. But it's becoming like a worldwide perspective on the parts of people. There is an entitlement, and there's an entitled generation in this country that says, well, I should be able to have this person's wealth directed toward me.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen. I'd like to remind you that you can get today's message and any additional resource designed to encourage you in your walk with the Lord at our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at BackTOBRadio. or like us on our Facebook page. We enjoy hearing from you. We would also like to send you a gift for supporting Back to Basics. Our gift for this month for a donation of any size is A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God. This spiritual masterpiece exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Revelation. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.